Hey, Stella Ruminan and eDiscovery fans, I'm your host, Mary Rectoris. For any new listeners out there, the goal of Stella Ruminan and eDiscovery is to shine light on the female leaders in eDiscovery. Many of these women are dedicated to breaking barriers, paying it forward, and elevating the careers of others. Before bringing on our Stella Ruminan and eDiscovery guest today, I want to introduce you all to Mila Taylor, my colleague and now the co-host of Stella Ruminan and eDiscovery. Mila, hello.
Cheers, Mary. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Of course. So the idea to bring Mila into the mix came a few weeks ago after we attended the Women in eDiscovery conference in Austin. And we started talking about mentorship and building female leaders up in the industry. And we both realized this is something we had a passion for.
We met just incredible and smart and talented women in the industry. And it was awesome to be in that company.
Yeah, it was really cool to meet the different women. And everyone seemed really excited to be there despite the non-sunny weather. And what was that place called where we got the tacos?
Torchy's Tacos. If you're listening, we're open for sponsorship.
Today, we are joined by JC Shane. She's the Vice President of Strategy and Consulting and Senior eDiscovery Counsel at Precision Discovery. JC, thanks for joining Mila and myself today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Precision's just right down the street, right?
Yep, just a couple of blocks.
Yeah, we're based here in Chicago, and we were just chatting about how it's fine and nice to have some sunny weather, finally. I think it's 70, maybe?
It felt like 70.
Well, for us, it's probably 50, and we're sweating.
Feels like a beach day.
It's life in Chicago. 40 degrees and shorts.
I'm into it. I love 40 degrees. So, JC, to start us off here, how'd you get involved in eDiscovery?
Back in 2005, I lost my job at the law firm. They were cutting everybody because of the economy. I had the choice between $35,000 a year job at a small firm or a $35 an hour contract attorney position. I arrived the first day and found out, no, your contract attorney is not reviewing contracts. You're doing document review. After that, we finished that project. And I made an appointment, went in, talked to the CEO at the company I was working for, and I said, you know, the way that you're doing this, this could be done a lot better. From there, I spent the next 5 years, wonderful opportunity, to build project management handbook, starting with document review, working our way back further up into the process and doing more and more e-discovery, and then I just took it from there.
Was your manager or boss at the time receptive to you telling him or her that they needed to be more efficient with tech?
Oh, definitely. And that was the greatest part of the opportunity. It was, really, what were your ideas? I had them all written down. I went in, I gave them to her, and she said, okay, well, let's go ahead and start one or two of these on the next project. So we just started from there. You know, let's start small. And we started with that. It worked great. The project went better than ever. And then just kept going from there.
So before getting into eDiscovery in the law, legal tech space, you were a teacher, correct?
Yep. I taught 7th through 12th grade science.
Oh boy, middle school, right?
My first year of teaching was 7th grade science in Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii is cool.
Yeah, it was great.
So how do you go from teaching to going to the legal tech side of things?
Well, I went to law school. I had always planned on going to medical school, which is my science background, and after teaching for a little while, I decided that, you know, if I go to law school, I'll be done by the time I'm 30. If I go to medical school, I don't know. I think I'll still be, you know, going to school when I'm dead. So I went to law school instead, which is probably not the greatest way to make that decision, but I really loved law school. I would, if I had the choice, I'd go back to law school and spend years and years there just learning.
Really? I just went to my brother's law school graduation this past weekend, and I don't know how many of those students felt the same way.
Yeah, I think it's my scientific brain. I just like the way that the teaching is done in law school. It's so fun.
So kind of touching on that, I think I've been lucky in my life to have many teachers who have also been a mentor to me, and that's been a really great relationship and just a positive experience. What has your experience been with being a mentor, even as a mentee?
Sure. I think the first part is really the fact that nobody chooses as an attorney to go into eDiscovery. That's not your first choice. You don't say, I'm going to go out and get a doc review job. So you have these attorneys that come in, and everyone on my team, the team I currently have and my past teams, has been an attorney that started out as a doc reviewer and has just seen the opportunity that eDiscovery offers in our new industry and gone with it. So I think there's a big, I take a lot of pride in the fact that not only am I providing them with an alternative career path, but showing, giving them the skills that they need in order to progress. I think, you know, I have people that I've mentored since 2006, I think, that are in top level law firms, other vendors, some work here at Relativity. So it's all over the board and it's just great fun. The other thing is many people go back to the traditional law job and they say that the skills that they learned while working with me was very helpful. So, you know, that's great fun.
Mary and I are both, you know, relatively new in the e-discovery field. And why do you think it's important for people like Mary and I and so many others to have a mentorship and have that almost like role model figure as they go through their career?
I think because of the stigma that's associated with our industry and the fact that our industry is so young and the legal field is so just against change. So bringing in young, new people that aren't familiar with the industry, it gets an influx of new ideas. You know, if everybody came in and they had worked at a traditional law firm, there's one way of doing things. You have people that come in from all walks of life, and that's one of the great things about a lot of the attorneys we get. They've been all over the place. One of the reasons they don't find a traditional job is because they traveled too much or because they're coming in from an alternative career. And all of these people have different things to offer.
Yeah, the listeners can't see, but there's a lot of head nodding going on in the room.
That's awesome. I think what you're saying with bringing young blood into the mix facilitates change at law firms. And in your nomination for Stellar Womania Discovery, you're known for questioning the status quo. So, JC, can you mention a time that you have done this and this was successful?
I think the funniest part of this question is that my questioning of the status quo is really getting back to kind of the fundamentals. Why do we do discovery? We do discovery to find the evidence in the case. And our industry has gotten away from that. So one of the ways that we question the status quo is to go in at the beginning of a case and finding that evidence. Find the evidence before the company has spent millions of dollars on the matter. And then only to find out that they didn't have as good a case as they knew that as they thought they did. So one instance, we were working with a law firm. They had an employment law matter. They came to us and said, okay, well, we need to collect 20 custodians. But we don't really know what's going on. We just got to collect everybody and then just see what's going on. And we said, well, wait a second. Why are you collecting these 20 custodians if you don't know what's going on? So we recommended to them that start with 3 custodians. So we started with 3 custodians, did our analysis. We're able to pretty much build the timeline of the case and give them, based on our initial analysis, they wound up saying that they had everything they needed. We did a confirmatory analysis. We wound up only going through 7 custodians instead of 20. And one of those custodians wasn't even on the original list of 20. So yeah, they were able to settle the case before spending very much money at all. We found the evidence that they needed in order to dispute the allegations against them. So it was, it costs our company money, but now we have a long-term client that sees our value.
Jumping in with a quick plug, the Stellar Womania eDiscovery podcast is celebrated at Relativity's annual fall conference through our live award ceremony in Chicago. Each year, we recognize the stellar woman in the field who embodies this podcast's core values, elevating women in tech, breaking barriers, mentoring others, and paying it forward. Know someone who comes to mind? Nominate her at relativityfest.com.
You also touched on it before. The legal field is changing. So many industries are changing. And how can young associates differentiate themselves with this change? Do you think it's practical things like going out and getting certifications, or it's really investing in mentorships? How do you see the way forward for young associates?
I would recommend to young associates, the number one thing is to use your experts. Learn how to manage others and let others do some of the work. We come up against a lot of young associates that are just kind of thrown into managing the cases. And some of them feel like they have to do everything themselves. They have to make all the decisions. They have to get the work done and structure everything. The ones that do the best are the ones that ask us and allow us to mentor them a little bit. You know, I've been in this industry for 15 years. I've seen all of the mistakes, so I can recommend against doing things in that way. all it takes is just, you know, let them, let the experts do their job is what I would recommend. That's one of the things I think a lot of law firms forget to do is teach people how to manage others. And that's something that I know I've had at least a couple of young associates. I had one, I had been working with him for 2 years and finally met him because he's out in San Francisco. And I go up to have, you know, just a coffee and tea place. And I've never met him before. And he just runs up and gives me the hugest hug. And he goes on and on. I learned so much from you. I can't believe how hard your team works. I saw the way you managed and taught your team. And I've incorporated that into how I do things. So the things he was mentioning wasn't even, I learned how to do e-discovery, which I thought was really, really cool.
Switching gears a little bit, can you tell us what are some things you enjoy doing outside of the office that have nothing to do the day-to-day, just some things that make you happy?
Oh, well, everybody, I'm a crazy dog lady.
We love dogs. We've been, Mila and I don't know what kind of dog you have. She's more of a toy poodle type of girl, where if I had my dream dog, it would be a Great Dane. So where do you fall in that argument?
My best friend for 15 years was a Labrador Retriever. She was 95 pounds, and we went everywhere together. She actually visited with me 22 different states and moved. We lived in four different states while she was alive. But now I've gone the opposite direction. I have two, I call them Snorkies. They're 7 pounds and 8 pounds, and they're half miniature Schnauzer, half Yorkie.
What are their names?
Balder and Era. I was in a Viking stage.
I was going to say, did you watch that show, Vikings?
Yeah.
My dad watches that. It looked pretty good.
Nobody knows what their names are, and most people think that it's like Boulder.
Boulder. I like Balder. It's unique. You're not going to find, there's a lot of dogs named Tom.
Scout.
Scout's a big one.
There's a lot of Thors and Lokis now, and I always tell everybody, it's like Thor and Loki, except for better.
I'm more unique. My dog's better than yours.
So yeah, they have their own Instagram.
We'll have to give them a follow.
Yep, definitely.
90% of the people I follow are all dogs. So it fits right on it.
I don't accept from humans.
Mm-mm. If there's no dog in your picture, just don't even try with JC. She's not going to accept. Kind of closing here, JC, we touched on this a little bit, but do you have any advice on how we all as an industry can promote up-and-coming female leaders in e-discovery and legal tech?
You know, I mean, what you guys are doing here is fantastic. So more of this would be wonderful. And I think the other thing is to make sure that we're all together. It's not a competition for who's the best woman. It's let's take on this industry and kick some butt.
I think a big takeaway from the conference that Mary and I attended for me was they emphasized making friendships as being so strong. And just as you said, like, we're all stronger and better together. So
it doesn't need to be adversarial.
Right.
JC, thanks for swinging on by today.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, please subscribe to the Stellar Woman in eDiscovery podcast on whatever platform you use to listen to your favorite podcast. And with that, for Stellar Woman in eDiscovery, I'm Mary Rectoris.
I'm Mila Taylor, signing off.